Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
It's Tuesday on Chuck Oliver Show. I certainly appreciate Dave Bartu and his regular weekly visit. It was awesome. Make sure you join us every Tuesday. Bottom of hour one, we get a couple of segments on the Duncan Newsmaker line with Dave Bartu, CFB Matrix. It's his laptop, his code. He gives you his cell phone number. You can text him anything you want. Coming up in about 15 minutes, going to talk a little recruiting. 247, Director of Scouting, Andrew Irvin's going to join us. And going to talk the latest top talent for next spring's class as – talk portal, we talk recruiting, we talk everything as far as player acquisition, so that's coming up as well. We're going to find out the biggest difference in numbers coming up this December. And when I say biggest difference in numbers, the biggest difference between your number as a ranking and perhaps your team's number as a seed. The ranking is fine. It's wonderful. It's the seed that you really care about. If we can go back in time, just a couple of seasons, 2021, is this an outlier season? Not really. It's a season that offers a pretty clear example. In fact, two pretty clear examples. But if we look at the 2021 college football playoff final rankings, now, I'm using 2021 because there are a couple of clear examples here. The truth is you could use any of their end of season rankings and they would all be equally irrelevant to a certain degree because once the playoff committee got past four, my opinion is there was some, let's just do this for show, because it didn't matter. There were times when Bill Hancock said this to me. I was in the room. I went through the exercise. A lot of folks have done that. And Bill Hancock said, after the first four, sometimes there is an acknowledgement. Whereas a team that might have gone undefeated or 12-1, and we don't think they're one of the top 25 teams in America, but you want an acknowledgement to some degree. And so maybe, and it was Marshall that, 1 year, he's like, we told him, no matter what you do, you can't get the playoffs. Don't be silly. But there are situations where you may want to, and since it's outside the top four, sometimes it didn't really matter. And then there were other times they would use the seeds immediately outside the top four, my opinion, to bolster what they had decided within the top four. So It doesn't necessarily mean that seeds 5 through 12 were decided the way they would be now, but we understand now, at least like right now, in a 12-team model, if you look at the 2021 final playoff rankings, and this is what set all the bowl seeds and everything, you would have had SEC champion Alabama and Big Ten champion Michigan advancing to the playoffs with a bye. After that, because remember, the top four doesn't have to be power anything, but the top four highest-ranked conference champions. It would not have been an unusual situation in any year, but in this year to get all the way down to Pac-12 champion Utah at number 11, and I don't know if they would have had a little bit worse of a season, but still won the Pac-12 belt. 12 seed ACC champion Pittsburgh being the fourth highest ranked conference champion. Because after them, you're getting into G5, and we're not giving Houston anything. Now, in that case, you had Cincinnati lurking out there. And that is the anti-Marshall. Cincinnati was almost the team that the playoff committee and others were sort of pulling for. All right, now we can hush you up. And so you had a G5 squad. Do you know, when you talk about the four highest-ranked conference champions, this is actually what has squeezed out the G5 more than anything, is you are looking at a scenario now where the five highest-ranked get seeds, the four highest-ranked get byes, which is why I said it ain't the ranking, folks, it's the seeding. The G5, even in a year with an undefeated Cincinnati, you're getting one G5 team almost every year. And so increased access, it's probably going to be increased access for a further down the line SEC or ACC squad, or excuse me, Big Ten squad. But you're going to have a scenario where an 11th or 12th ranked team from a not SEC or Big Ten is going to be ranked ahead of a team that, for instance, has one loss in the conference championship game and does not win the belt, and so they have to play. Now, maybe they play at home. But there's going to be a G5 champion who gets 12th seed over a fourth place and far better SEC or Big Ten team when there's not an undefeated 13-0 Cincinnati, for instance. And that I will not gripe about. And that's kind of where I do my flip. If you finished fourth in a great conference, I am still only giving you so much credit for being surrounded by better teams. I have no outrage about 11-2, 25th-ranked Marshall getting a spot over 9-3 Tennessee. If we already have Bama, Georgia, LSU in the conference, and I've already seen Tennessee come up short consistently this season regularly enough versus SEC teams like Bama, Georgia, LSU, or specifically Bama, Georgia, and LSU. So in that scenario, I've got no issue with it. Why am I going to drop you back into a field where there are three of those and only eight who aren't? You will get rematches, and we know all of that. And quickly, probably. And since we already know how you stack up against Bama, for instance, then I have no problem with the G5 sneaking in there. When you're talking about a power, that's what's going to frost everybody, because that the G5 is getting the 12th seed over a three-loss SEC team, maybe not making the field at all. Okay, I'm in. When we have a 12th-ranked ACC champion, maybe getting a bye? Yikers. What up, Heath?
So today is the last day that you can put your name in for the transfer portal. Now, a couple of quick things of note here. This is not the case for grad transfers. Grad transfers have one more day, for whatever reason, that they can put their name in. But today is close of business on the transfer portal. There will still be two more days where guys could pop up because they have 48 hours for the schools to process entries. So there may be some names we still hear as late as Thursday. But today's the day. You're either in or you're not able to get into the portal until after the next season of football has been played. So for better or worse, Chuck, by the end of this week, we won't know where everybody's going to land, but we're at least going to know if a guy didn't get in. You can probably assume he's going to be around unless something else takes him off your team, discipline or something else. A couple of names, because, again, this is kind of where we are right now. You got some guys I think maybe aren't 100% even sure what they're going to do, but are just going to throw their name in now because they want to keep their options open. So for Wake Forest, defensive back Nashawn Jones is going to the portal. Talk about a guy who was a starter the last couple of years, three picks, 37 tackles. I don't know, Chuck, whether there's anybody who wants to break him off a big chunk of money to come play in their secondary, but I get the feeling at least he thinks, maybe put it in there, see what happens. You know, keep the option open. Again, reminder, you do not have to get out of the portal at any deadline other than just to be ready to play and academically be where you need to be, but you have to be in by today. And then there's this. Chuck, remember DeMarcus Bowman?
He's a five-star running back out of Florida that went to Clemson and didn't get a lot of carries, so then he went to Florida, and I don't think he got carries there either.
And then he went to UCF, and he didn't get carries there either. Five-star running back, three schools, 175 yards. He's in the portal, so somebody somewhere is going to say, hey, we added a five-star running back by the end of this process, assuming that he can actually transfer, as we talked about yesterday. There's some issues when you're transferring for the fourth time. Sometimes that can get real dicey with the credits. But if he can make it work, then he'll get a chance to be a five-star running back trying to get on the field somewhere else. But, again, that's the range. We've got everything from a guy like that who the best you could say about him is still, hey, once upon a time he was a five-star, to kids today that I think are going to probably surprise some schools by jumping in, just starters that say, let's at least keep the options open. I don't think Dave Clawson, if Deshaun Jones tries to come back, is going to say, nope, sorry, you got in the portal, hit the bricks, brother. And I think we're going to see a lot of those kind of stories in the next 48 hours of kids who at least just put their name in to give them an option.
Mentioned Penny Boone yesterday and DeMarcus Bowman, at least the idea about, you know, these credit things. This is a real thing. I hadn't mentioned this. If you remember when the NCAA, the rules committee made a recommendation that then had to be voted on. And so their recommendation was you can transfer as many times as you want to anywhere you want for any reason you choose. That's our recommendation as a rule, which I sat back and thought, doesn't sound like much of a rule. I even said that day, though, I noticed this, and there was an inclusion, because it wasn't a period, it was a comma, an inclusion of, as long as the scholarship athlete is meeting academic progress requirements. And it was the only asterisk. It literally, you can transfer no matter, because remember, it used to be, yeah, you can do that in every sport except these five. There were five sports that were different. Football was one of them. And then it was, all right, all sports, all players, graduate, undergraduate, doesn't matter, to wherever you want, whether it's in the conference or somewhere you've been before, and for any reason you choose. At that point, I was like, okay, that means it's just the Wild West. I can go, you know, like I can be a weather vane. And then that little add-on means somebody was, and I was like, they've never even talked about this. I mean, because that's an assumption. I was like, they included this for some reason. Like, that's the only cap, the only, folks, there's a hole in the road. Don't walk into this one hole. You don't have enough credits, and you'll be okay. And we are starting to see examples where some kids have transferred and transferred and transferred, and you lose an entire semester, or they don't offer the major that you had. Oh, well, I'll have to transfer somewhere else. And you'll work that out. You'll find a place where it does work. But you were transferring for football. Now you're having to transfer for football under the umbrella of the best I can make it academically as well. So it's another challenge, and it takes a minute, but then it finally kind of catches up on you. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We will roll along next.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
So Brian Kelly's throwing down the recruiting gauntlet. And I'm not just talking for college defensive tackles, because he said, I want college defensive tackles. But when it comes to high school critters, he's going after every position, and not just kind of sort of good players either. At one tally I saw, it was, now this is for high school kids who still have a senior year to play. I saw they had commitments from next year's number one at QB, wide receiver, maybe running back, maybe number two there. One of the interior linemen, kid out of Mobile, just like the number one. It's ridiculous what they're putting together, and it's just commitments, but you'd still like to have them. We're going to talk LSU and a bunch more. Want to welcome on right now, man who knows what it's about when it comes to giving out scholarships, director of scouting for 247, Andrew Ivins. Andrew, welcome back, man. How you been?
I'm doing good, man. Busy off season, right? You know, I love the intro. College football does not stop year round when it comes to the recruiting.
Yeah, let's talk Bryce Underwood. You've eyeballed him. He is a quarterback, a kid out of Michigan, and he's tall and he's long and he has a very adult look to him, I'll say. Number one ranked quarterback, maybe the number one ranked player. I don't know where y'all have him, but he's committed to LSU. Tell me what kind of player this kid looks like.
Yeah, Bryce Underwood got a chance to see him this past weekend at the Overtimes OT7 7-on-7 tournament in Orlando. And this was kind of one of our first exposure points to Bryce of the offseason. You know, some of these kids do camps. Some of them play 7-on-7 tournaments. Bryce is kind of flown a little bit under the radar, so it was big to see him in this type of setting. Obviously, it's two-hand touch. You know, there's no rush or anything like that, but I thought it was a masterclass for him. I mean, everything you want to see in a prospect that is ranked at the top of the board. You know, he balanced that difficulty between not taking risks, but at the same time taking some risks and trying to throw his wide receivers open. I think I charted him on Sunday with, you know, one turnover worthy throw. I mean, he was lights out, clean mechanically. And you say he looks like he's old, very mature. You know, he's actually young for the class. He's still 16 years old. He could technically be a junior in high school. He could reclassify back and be age appropriate. So he's the real deal. And, you know, he was thrown alongside our number two ranked quarterback, Ohio State commit Tavian St. Clair. I think the gap between those two is, in our eyes, is shrinking. And that's certainly going to be something to follow here, not only this summer, but once we get into those senior seasons.
If you want to talk just as a trend, that's fine. But specifically this year, I've always found out of positions we actually give five stars to, a five-star quarterback, there's so many fewer of them. Go through another name or two of a guy that excites you that obviously at this point it's just commitments or not committed. But just talk a couple of other prospects. How does that position look this class?
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, our rankings, you know, we use the NFL compass or the NFL draft as our compass. We're trying to project kids towards the NFL, which is, it isn't easy to do with all these teenagers. And you look at the 2024 NFL draft, I mean, six quarterbacks in the top 12 just shows the positional value when it comes to that. And it makes sense. I mean, obviously it's the most important position on the field. So, you know, Bryce is at the top, who's headed to LSU. And then I mentioned Tavian St. Clair, the Ohio State commit right there in the Buckeyes' backyard. I got a chance to see him at an Elite 11 regional. I think he's the real deal. He kind of looks like Justin Fields. I think at this stage, maybe he throws the football a little bit better. But Ohio State's got a good one, and it's crazy to think about because they got one of the deepest quarterback rooms in the country, as is right now. Some other guys that, you know, we're big fans of, Keelon Russell, a kid out of Texas. He's committed to SMU. Just spent the weekend at Ole Miss on an official visit. He's also scheduled to get to Florida, I believe, the last weekend of May. You know, he's an electric player, completed over 70% of his passes for Duncanville there in Texas, playing big boy football, led them to a state title. And I think it's one of the more unique recruitments out there. Remember, SMU is moving to the ACC. They have their NIL ducks in order, and it's really going to come down to whether Keelon Russell, you know, wants to play in the SEC or stay there in the ACC. And then, Husan Longstreet, another kid out of California, just recently committed to Texas A&M. He's got a maybe the livest arm in the class, and I think that was really a big win for Mike Elko in that new look staff there in College Station. You know, Husan, at one point it looked like Auburn was going to be the likely landing spot. Now he is signed up to play for the Aggies, and he's a guy that I think could finish with a fifth star next to his name as well.
All right, so bounce around to another kid or two if you want. DeCorian Moore, five-star wide receiver, LSU commit. Harlan Berry, maybe the number one or two running back in America commit. Devin Harper was the lineman I was thinking about. Kid out of Shreveport, actually, in-state. Any of the other, because they got stud right now committed.
Well, what's crazy is, I mean, we're sitting here April 30th, and what I call commitment season is really going to gear up towards the end of May and in early June. That's when these kids are going to take official visits. It's completely different than what it was, you know, 5 years ago when everything happened around the holidays. This is so accelerated, and it has happened so fast. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of changes when it comes to the 24/7 sports team rankings right now. Notre Dame holds the number one class. Ohio State sitting there with number two. But number three is LSU. They only got 12 kids in the boat. But I think if you had to do a straw poll of everyone in our offices, all right, what's your favorite recruiting class? It's going to be that LSU one. It's Bryce Underwood, like we've talked about, the quarterback, the Corian Moore. You know, he's an electric slot receiver, really good track and field athlete, very productive. He's the one that caught passes from that Keelon Russell kid I was talking about there at Duncanville. Had a chance to see him play some 7-on-7, and he's probably the best 7-on-7 receiver in terms of like the smaller guys I've seen since Jaylen Waddle, who's obviously now in the NFL, just signed a big contract, so he can roll. And then Harlan Bailey, the running back, he was playing with Bryce Underwood this past week, and Ryan Clark was actually coaching that team up. They call themselves Flo, spelled the Cajun way. And Harlan Berry, I mean, it's hard for running backs to kind of shine in those type of settings, but he worked out at wide receiver, caught multiple long touchdowns, and then after the catch, I mean, again, you know, all they have to do is tag you up, but he was reversing fields and, you know, making guys miss in space. I think that trio right there is everything you want to build your offense around. You know, how good could this group be? How about when Joe Burrow was throwing to, you know, his pick of receivers a few seasons ago? I mean, this group has a chance to light up scoreboards in the SEC. And what also has us pretty bullish on LSU is that offensive line class. The LSU has a type. Brad Davis does an excellent job. I mean, Devin Harper is at the top of the list, but they also got a kid out of Mississippi, Tyler Miller, committed, and they've signed some big boys up front the past few years, and I don't think the offensive line is going to be much of an issue for the Tigers.
I've always heard, and it's kind of, you know, a joke, but that Tampa, it's kind of like Kansas City with a mob. When it comes to recruiting, it's open. Like, nobody's ever really owned Tampa. DJ Pickett, 6'2 corner, long arms who can turn and go or play safety. I like all of that. Have you seen him, and is this a Kirby Smart thing?
I call him a pterodactyl. Like, he is one of one. And we went back and we looked at last season in the NFL, all right? So week one opening rosters, there was only 8 cornerbacks in the league that were over 6'3". Yeah. We list DJ Pickett at 6'2". He might be 6'4". It's rare case. You know, LSU, Miami, Clemson's in there. Georgia's in there.
Andrew,
I would keep an eye on.
I apologize. We got a hard out coming, and I asked that last question. I appreciate the response, buddy. We got to run, okay?
All good.
100% on me, man. 247 Sports, Andrew Ivins. Appreciate the time there coming in. And again, just wanted to get that last word about the corner there and where he may wind up.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Marketing is everywhere, from the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone. We are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a Mad Men's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All year talk college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. Been doing it for a decade, 9 states and 60 sticks. It's what we do. NFL draft has concluded. And the first about 7 picks, it was chalk, man. It was just about, I mean, chapter and verse what we were expecting. And then the Atlanta Falcons threw a cinder block into things and got everybody's attention, and then we got back on track a little bit. But there was nothing like the Michael Penix pick, and it's always with a quarterback. That's what's going to get people's attention, but given some of the background. So we're going to talk all kinds of our former favorite college stars moving on to the NFL, but we're going to start with the selection that kind of threw everybody for a curveball. I want to welcome on right now from the Reese's Senior Bowl. He's the executive director. It is Jim Nagy. Jim, welcome back, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Chuck.
I appreciate you making some time today. You've been in a war room. You've been there for draft night a bunch. The Atlanta Falcons, like I said, it was chalk, the expected pick. And then Michael Penix. Tell me what you think Michael Penix is as a Sunday guy, as an NFL quarterback, because ultimately that's what it's about. And I'll just set aside that they got Kirk Cousins and all that other weirdness.
Yeah, I'll say this. I think you kind of saw and felt and heard Michael Penix making a push that last month, and that's because the coaches got involved in the process. I do feel like talking to friends around the league that's what happened. You know, the coaches are brought in, you know, really usually post-combine. They give those guys about a month to do all their evaluations, and then you bring them in the beginning of April, you know, and let them say their piece on the players and kind of try to blend what the scouting staff saw and what the coaches saw. And that's why they saw the push, because coaches know there's certain things you can't coach. They like finding guys with things they can't coach, and they can't. Hard to find Michael Penix's arm. You know, to me, he probably had the best arm in this draft outside of Joe Milton. And he can win from the pocket. And we always hear coaches say that. They want guys that can win from the pocket. Now, do you need an element of mobility these days? I think you do. And I think he has that. I think he proved that at his you know, pro day. He ran in the 4.5s. The guy's plenty mobile enough. But he can sit back there and pick you apart. So I think that's why the coaches bought into him. And yeah, I mean, we can dig further if you want to dig into, you know, what the Falcons' approach was there. But I think that's what teams see, a guy that can hit you deep and win from the pocket.
We have to continue talking quarterbacks. I heard the buzz on Mac Jones a few drafts ago, and I didn't buy it. I was like, you got to be kidding me. That's just not going to happen. And then he's a first-round pick, and as a rookie, had a lot of success. I heard the same stuff about J.J. McCarthy, and I started believing it. Tell me what you project him to be as an NFL quarterback, because he's a guy that, from the outside, and I've always said, NFL, they don't care about stats. They care how you got the stats. But we all look at it and go, he didn't throw the ball a lot. Tell me what an NFL team would see, for instance.
Yeah, Chuck, you know, I didn't dig into J.J. till later on. You know, after they won the national championship and he said he was coming out in the draft, I, you know, obviously called Coach Harbaugh and I called J.J.'s dad and talking to him about coming to the Senior Bowl because I knew he was good enough, you know, to come to the Senior Bowl. I didn't have to do some deep dive on the guy. But when I did, when I circled back to really sink in, there's a lot to like. You know, I was wondering, is this guy getting pushed up because, you know, his team just won a national championship and Jim Harbaugh saying he's the best coach in Michigan history? Like, where is this all coming from? And I'll say this, like, I was a believer after I watched him. He's really a high-end athlete. I feel like we got cheated this year in the draft process, Chuck. Like, none of these guys worked out. Jaden Daniels would have run, you know, low 4.4s. That would have been fun to see, maybe high 4.3s. J.J. would have worked out well. Bo Nix would have worked out well. We didn't get to see any of that stuff, but J.J. is a really good athlete. He can get outside the pocket. He's accurate on the move. He plays really good, smart, situational football. And I'll say this, like, sometimes I understand the knock that he didn't have to carry a team, and he never had to put that team on his shoulders, per se. But to me, that's sometimes harder to play that position when you're not throwing it 40 or 50 times a game, when you're going run, run, pass, and you're in 3rd and 12, 3rd and 13, and you got to make a throw, and you make the throw. I mean, that's, you know, playing out of rhythm a little bit is what he did. You know, I just think, again, Harbaugh made the point that he played quarterback better than anyone else in the draft. And I don't know if that means anything to anyone else, but it certainly means something to football people. I mean, there's managing the position and managing situations. He's really good at. And then, you know, talking to teams, he was very charismatic and won people over in the interview stuff. So with the pieces, now they have him around in Minnesota, I think they've done a good job. I think he's set up to have a good rookie year. And obviously, I think we're going to see him right away. They wouldn't have taken this guy. There's not really anything on the roster other than Sam Darnold in his way. So I think we'll see J.J. week one.
Continue on. Jim Nagy again, Reese's Senior Bowl Executive Director. And I want to ask you about Bo Nix here. And I've got an opinion that, I mean, in 5 minutes of an NFL game at Switch, the first time I was on the field, you know, you're either credentialed, you can get on for the final 5 minutes. If you're not Jim Nagy, you got to wait till the final 5 minutes. And I was like, they're cutting people in half out there. I was like, A, play the players more, and B, our quarterback needs to add weight. I'm scared every quarterback is underweight. Tell me what you think about Bo Nix and then and the stature and all that. But then also his fit with Sean Payton in Denver.
Well, I'll start with the last part. I mean, I think the fit is perfect. You know, I said along through the draft process in a bunch of interviews, I couldn't imagine Sean Payton spending 2 hours with Bo Nix and not wanting him wanting, you know, Sean wanting Bo to be his guy. I just think that was kind of the the perfect marriage in this draft. I mean, Sean Payton won with a really high end processor, extremely accurate quarterback who was a football junkie. And again, I'm not saying Bo is Drew Brees by any stretch, but but those things, they have those things in common. I mean, that's what Bo is. Bo is son of a coach, always around it, immersed in football, really high end processor, really accurate. And you know, I was at I've shared this too. I was at the LSU Pro Day, and the Broncos had some guys there for Jaden Daniels workout. And one of them shared with me, he's like, "I think Coach already knows who he wants. Like, he's like, Sean's already got his guy." And this was 7 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I think they've been locked in on Bo for a long time. Now, the buzz in the league leading into the draft was that they were going to try to trade back and pick up some stuff and then get Bo later in the round. I think what happened then was when Michael Penix went 8, they knew they couldn't get too cute, so they just stayed there at 12 and took Bo.
All right, let's bounce out to the numbers. Brian Thomas, I'm a big, big, big fan of his. Tell me what the Jags might have gotten. If it works out and he and Trevor are a hand in a glove, tell me what you think it looks like with Brian Thomas.
Super athletic outside receiver, has some basketball player. He was a great basketball, but he's got some of that in his game. He's a good guy that can run the court and throw it down when you hit him on a fast break. I mean, this guy is explosive vertically, and he can make plays. I mean, I mentioned, I was at that LSU Pro Day and watching he and Malik Nabers, you know, kind of run route after route. I mean, that was – and again, I go back 3 years, and it was Jordan Jefferson and Chase and those guys. So they've cranked out so many good players there, but he's one of the next in line. Nabers is probably more NFL ready, but if you hit on Brian Thomas, you're hitting on a number one receiver. So, and he does most of his work outside and vertically, but that's not to say he can't develop underneath, because he can run routes. He's a really good athlete. He's just going to take a little more development, but they're going to get something out of him next year because he can at least make plays down the field for you.
All right, you got to protect Bryce and then give Bryce some targets. Talk to Xavier Leggett, because there are times he had like some freaky, freaky moments at South Carolina, and I'll give him credit. He gets his mitts on the ball. It's his. But talk about what Carolina might have gotten.
Yeah, I think there was some, there was some pushback on Xavier Leggett in like the analytics crowd. I saw that leading up to the draft, and he was a 1 year wonder. I mean, this guy wasn't even on our radar really last summer for the Senior Bowl, and then he goes out in that first game against North Carolina, and I think he has 178 yards where he had like 167 the entire year before. So he was a bit of a 1 year wonder. But when you dig back into why, I mean, this is a guy that played quarterback in high school and lost both his parents in high school. So he's making the move to college, and I can't imagine how lost I would be going to college with losing both my parents. And then the position switch. So he built up gradually. I mean, the guy played in a kicking game. He was a returner. He was a coverage guy. I mean, he just kind of built up slow, but you put on this year's tape and there was no doubt this guy was a big time player. Probably I've said this, but like in terms of height, weight, and speed, probably the best blend of all those things in this year's draft at 227 pounds running 4.38. Those guys are hard to find, and he's good when he gets the ball in his hands.
All right, last guy I want to ask you about, Chris Braswell. And I always love this. There's just something about, Sikkim for an edge guy. And the quote about Chris Braswell was, he's going to run through the tackle's face mask. I like the aggressiveness, and I like what I saw last year. It wasn't just Dallas Turner. Tell me what you think the Bucs may have gotten.
Yeah, I think Jason Light does a great job year in and year out, Buccaneers GM. Here's what I like about Chris. Yes, he is physical. He is a physical edge setter. He's a physical rusher. That's just kind of who he is. I love the fact that he stuck it out at Alabama. You know, he came in as a really highly recruited guy, and it didn't happen right away, which it doesn't happen that way to Alabama for a lot of those guys. You're sitting behind other great players. He could have easily gotten out of there and transferred, sitting behind Will Anderson and Dallas Turner, but he waited his turn this year and had a really big senior year. So as much as the physical stuff, and you do love the physicality and the athlete, to me it's the makeup of the guy and just wanting to, like, stick it out in Tuscaloosa. I think that's what helped teams really, you know, build a consensus on the guy in their room, was that they know how Chris is wired, and I think teams buy into that stuff.
He's living the golf life, Advantage Jim Nagy. I appreciate your time, friend. Thank you today.
All right, Chuck. Thanks, man.
Jim Nagy down in Mobile. He's been executive director. He took over for Phil Savage. Y'all remember Phil Savage? And so he was in Mobile running the Senior Bowl. And then Jim showed up. I'm going to guess and get this wrong, but I'm going to say it was 2017. So it's just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful place, just all up and down the coast there. So appreciate Jim making time, as I said. All right, we will break, and we will come back and wrap up on this Tuesday next.
The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
The staff, when you go down the list of all the guys, like BMAC, and you got Hart, you got five staff members that played at Georgia. Bobo, Muschamp. Like, you could go down the list of so many people that, so it means even more. And you know what else it means? A lot of those guys ain't going nowhere.
Right.
Like, they know what it means to be where they're at, and they're like, I'm not leaving this place. Like, this is too good, and this is my alma mater, so I definitely think that helps too.
Here's the Chuck Oliver Show, and that's David Pollack, close personal friend of mine. Very good guy. And he had his foundation's golf tournament recently. I want to say, when would that have been? Last week. So David Pollack talking about his alma mater, Georgia, and the head coach there now, Kirby, and either on staff or, when I say on the coaching staff or the off-field analyst staff, he's got a lot of former Georgia players and coaches as well. Now, there's one caveat that I would add, one additional detail that I would add to what David would say, what David said, that would make it a little more accurate, is in their second stop, or maybe in their second stop at that school, or in their final stop, or after they've been a head coach. He said, if you're hiring people who went there, played there, they're not going anywhere. If they already have been on staff, Mike Bobo, and then flew away, was a head coach, ran a program for Colorado State, I'll say 5 or 6 seasons, and then went to South Carolina, and then was at Auburn, and then he went to Georgia, and wasn't even on field for a second, and then he became on field again. He's home now. At his age, and I'm saying at his age, I'm going to guess that Mike Bobo is, oh gosh, what would he be? Probably 52, maybe 53, whatever. And he coached for Mark Richt for a long time, and so he's got a resume, man. But he's got a resume, and it includes a lot of traveling, a lot of everything. And he's done with it, I think. Being in charge, he's done it, and he scratched that itch. Will Muschamp, he's been in charge twice. He may want to be on field again, but I don't think he wants – I don't know that he does. He gets to go off and just be a dad for a minute. So he's right about – David's right about what he said about the overall point about their – I would say less likely to go somewhere, and especially if it's the second time around. When I'm settled – and I'm a lot more likely to be settled at the place I attended than at Louisiana Tech. That is just the truth of it. That is what matters to me. Brought to you by ThisStuffMatters.net. Full update on the Duncan Newsmaker line. Appreciate Dave Bartu College Football Matrix. He joined us because it's Tuesday, and it was hour one, so that means Dave Bartu is going to be here. Andrew Ivins from 247 Sports, the director of scouting there. And, of course, we had Jim Nagy, the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl, joining us. And so those were all of our guests on the Duncan Newsmaker line. And, again, just appreciate everybody getting in. Hey, how's your Tuesday, man?
Oh, it's good. We got a lot of stuff going on here, Chuck. So let's start with this. How you feel about a show road trip for Thursday, August 29th? Jacksonville State, the football opener against Coastal that they're hosting, has been moved up from Saturday to Thursday night. Right after you wrap your show, we could be there for kickoff. You want to make a roadie over to Jacksonville?
Okay, I didn't know if we were going west or east. You're saying we're not going to Conway?
No. Conway's a little far. But you walk out of the studio, probably be there in time for kickoff. We could have like a big tribute to Chuck Oliver and the return to Alabama. Everybody be excited about it.
Yeah,
you know? So
I don't know. Maybe. But you know what?
Call it away as a possibility.
Square away the Texas State Fair trip first, then we'll double back to this game.
I do like the fact that if you're one of these schools, give your fans what you want. You know, everybody's excited to get your season started. If you're a place like Jacksonville State, you probably aren't going to draw as well on Saturday if you are up against other things going on in your state. Why not? Go ahead. Take a shot at a Thursday night game. You might do better with it. You just talked to Jim Nagy, and so I just want to quickly delve into one story about Bo Nix and about Nix and Peyton. Did you by any wild chance see the Albert Breer piece for Sports Illustrated's website that got into where he supposedly sold them? For those of you who might not, they say that Peyton asked him, "What's in your backpack?" This is all, I'm reading this verbatim, Chuck. "What's in your backpack?" Sean Peyton asked. Nix reached inside and grabbed a roll of tape he explained he'd need for his ankles if he was going to train. He also pulled out a spare pair of football cleats and a lacrosse ball he says he uses for rolling out his back. And what wasn't in the bag was just as significant. Everything was football related. All of it. Just imagine, Chuck, if he had had, I don't know, chewing gum in there or a cell phone charger. What kind of a quarterback would that be? What kind of a leader? What kind of a man? Everything is football, Chuck.
He had his disc man and TLC's greatest hits. I guess that's a great answer, and it sort of fits. And it's, the all mentality, all football mentality and coach's son and all that. Sit up straight, yes, sir, you know, salute. All of that stuff from Bo Nix, that's been real. And I'm not saying any of that to mock him. I think that kind of fits this scenario. Wouldn't it fit every kid? Kind of fits him.
I'm sure it fits him. I just find it so goofy. I mean, look, people love to mock the movie Draft Day and the idea that you got some deep insight from whether or not the teammates came to the teammates' birthday party. This is on the same level. I'm sorry. You know what? If he dared to have a book in the book bag, I don't think that means he's not fully prepared to be an adequate quarterback in the NFL. I just think it's so goofy that was treated like, yes, nothing but football.
But it fits the Bo Nix thing. Again, I am, out of the womb, I'm going to be a quarterback. It's going to happen. And so I've been all about football since, like, there was a football above my crib. Instead of a mobile, it was just a JV.
Meanwhile, we got a little bit of transfer news for Miami's quarterback Ja'Cory Brown transferring to UCF. Chuck, you've talked about this before. You give Gus a mobile quarterback and good things can happen. On paper, this feels like a really nice pickup for UCF.
Yeah, Gus got a little bit back to what his roots were. He always complained, well, everybody started going pace. And I was like, okay, well, you do what you do. But, you know, he just got away from it. When he got to UCF, there was a humbling and there was sort of a rededication at times to what he had been as far as pace and approach. And it's all a power-based run game, but with a lot of speed to it. So that could be exciting.
I saw this on Twitter today, and I think it's a pretty accurate description of things. Norval McKenzie is the running backs coach for Georgia Tech. He sent out the following: coaches, when you are out recruiting, if you see this store and it's open, find the nearest high school. There's always ballers nearby, free game. Chuck, have you seen this tweet?
I have not.
Okay, so again, it's Norval McKenzie, running backs coach for Georgia Tech. Coaches, when out recruiting, if you see this store and it's open, find the nearest high school. Always ballers nearby, free game. Chuck, take a guess. What store is this man referring to?
In my day, I would have said Babbage's or Electronic Boutique. Today, is he talking about either Lids or a vape store?
He's talking about Piggly Wiggly, actually. He's saying if you find a Piggly Wiggly anywhere in the Piggly Wiggly footprint, the nearest high school's got ballers. And you think about where Piggly Wiggly's located around the southeast, Chuck, especially rural southeast.
A discount grocer.
I tend to suspect that the man is correct on that. Last thing, there already was a massive traffic jam for anybody getting to the Georgia-Texas game because of the fact that you've got that F1 race going on. They just announced yesterday Sting and Eminem both playing concerts that weekend in Austin as part of the festivities for the F1 race. Get your hotel rooms now. Otherwise, you're staying in San Antonio at this point.
That is fantastic. I said the NFL draft, F1, when you can get Las Vegas's attention, okay, I'm in. Austin already does a good time. They know how to get that box checked. This is looking like it's going to be an all-timer. All right. Wraps it up on a Tuesday. Me, Heath, David. All back tomorrow.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you? 3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.